Welcome to church, everyone. My name is Roy, and helping me in today's service are Sam on the keyboard and Rosemary on the guitar, Young Lan on the bongo, and Trevor.
And I'm a surprised addition.
So those are our musicians. Lynn will be along later to bring our reading to us. Diane will be up to guide us through the prayers today. And Trevor will bring our Bible teaching. Let's begin with an opening prayer. Heavenly Father, you have brought us here today. This time we meet with you and your people is special. Help us not to take this moment with you and your people for granted. Take our anxious thoughts and let us know your peace, your presence, your power. May we listen to your word with expectation, engage in what we pray and say, and worship you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So, our Bible teaching today, Trevor will continue the series, When Caring Seems Wrong. So, what have you got for us today, Trevor?
Well, it's a very familiar Bible passage today, Roy, and it's one that's very, which will mean that we need to concentrate a little bit harder today because, oh, I know the story. I know this one about the Good Samaritan. I know what it's being asked. But there's actually, it's actually a parable about Jesus. It's about actually Jesus. And we're going to see how that is not only an application for us to be humbly caring for one another and not to let religious obligations stop us from caring for others, but also letting Jesus care for us. You know, so that's the little twist that's in this little story today. Yeah.
Thanks, Trevor. And this month we're into the new month of June, so our mission focus changes. We're focusing this month on reaching out to our local community, that mission that we perform as a church in many different ways. And also our focus on Anglicare Prison Chaplaincy this month. We have met together to thank God, to meet with Jesus, and to encourage one another while we wait for Christ's return. We shall praise God with our words and by what we do. We shall hear from his holy word, and we shall pray for the church and for all people. To prepare ourselves, let's hear from the word of God. Our sentence of scripture for today: He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Let us now confess our sins to Almighty God. Most merciful God, we humbly admit that we need your help. We confess that we have wandered from your way. We have done wrong and we have failed to do what is right. You alone can save us. Have mercy on us. Wipe out our sins and teach us to forgive others. Bring forth in us the fruit of your Spirit that we may live as disciples of Christ. This we ask in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. God wills that all people should be saved And in response to his call, we acknowledge our sins. He pardons those who humbly repent and truly believe the gospel. Therefore, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, to whom be blessing and honor forever. Amen. Sing to the Lord a new song.
For he has done marvelous things.
And today, I understand, Rosemary, we really do have a new song. And
we
you'd
do.
Like to
it's
say
the beginning
a few words
of June
about it.
Too, so everything's new. So we're going to learn a new song. Well, Gigi, just stay seated. We're going to sing through, sorry, as you can tell, I still don't have much of a voice. We're going to sing through the first two verses and the chorus. And then after the chorus, we're going to get you all to stand. And we're all going to start back from the very beginning. It's a pretty easy one to pick up, so I think you'll be fine with it. So if you'd like just to stay seated while we sing it through first.
Every tribe and every tongue, we are found in the risen sun.
multitude before the throne. Now with all the saints who overcome, for eternity we'll sing as one. We are one in the Father's love. We are every tribe and every tongue. We are found in the risen Son. We are bound together.
While you're all standing, just take a moment to greet those people around you. Turn around and say hello and give them a wave. And while you're doing that, the children will leave for Kids Church today. Our Bible reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. And there are three ways you can follow this as Lynn makes her way up to bring it to us. Turn to page 1040 in the Bibles in front of you, or look in the service sheet that you brought in with you, or simply follow it along on the screen. Thanks, Lynn.
Good morning. We're reading from Luke chapter 10. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Lynn. Please keep your Bibles open there at page 1040 and or in the handout that you've got. I'll be drawing back to those scriptures quite regularly as we do a kind of Bible study sermon today style today. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you speak to us through your word, the Bible, and your Spirit guides us accordingly. He helps us to know who you are and how we ought to live in relationship with you and with our brothers and sisters in Christ and those people whom we come in contact with. We thank you for your word, the Bible. Please help me to teach your word correctly today. And please, as we've prayed at this beginning of this service, please help us to engage in what we hear read and as we apply it to our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to begin by just thinking about someone whom you would not allow to help you. Can you think of someone whom you would not allow to help you? Maybe it's because you just didn't like that particular race of people, maybe. Or it might be because they believe different things to you theologically. Or they come from a different side of Sydney or economical or political background. Is there anybody, just allow yourself, who you would feel uncomfortable, even to the point of saying you would refuse to have any help come from them at all? Because this will actually help us to understand what the story and the encounter that Jesus teaches and this man has with Jesus, and the question that he's asking and how we ought to apply it to our own lives. Remember at the beginning here I said this is a very familiar story, and we all can quickly jump in and switch off and think, yeah, I know what this is about. And yes, you'd be right. This is a story. It's about how we are to care for one another. All right? And it's quite obvious. But there is more to this than meets the eye that gets overlooked. Because this sermon, this teaching that Jesus gives here, he's actually teaching this man who he's encountering with and those whom he are listening in and around, he's teaching them about who he is. And it's a story about Jesus and a story about whether or not we would let Jesus have mercy upon us. Okay? All right. Well, let's go to the passage itself. It really divides into two sections. Firstly, you have verses 25 through to 29, we're told here an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Now, the word in Greek for the expert in the law is someone who is just that, an expert, not in the state law or in but in religious matters. In the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers, the first five books, and also what we might call canon law or church law, or in this case, Jewish law, the way in which the Jew would apply God's law to everyday situations and people that they came in contact with. And so on occasion, an expert in the law stood up. It's again significant about the word stood up, because he most probably is feeling like he has an obligation on behalf of the people here. He even feels he may have a right, because he's an expert in the law, to actually test Jesus. And the word test there is to see whether or not he has the credentials, has the authority to be able to be a teacher of the law and one who applies it. As you know, Jesus had the reputation amongst many, you know, of being, who are you to tell us about who God is? And so that this expert in the law, expert in religious matters, expert in God's law, stood up to authenticate Jesus, to test Jesus as to whether or not he ought to be listened to and obeyed in this in what he's teaching. So he asked the teacher, Jesus, "Teacher," look there at verse 25, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" I think it's a fairly broad question, isn't it? I think that's a question that everyone kind of asks, you know, and, oh, well, what does the Bible say about getting right with God? You know, when you might be talking with them about what you believe and what they might be searching for. And so the same thing, the expert in the law just basically has this broad question, well, Jesus, what does the Bible say about how to get right with God? That really is a very important question. But it's very interesting, isn't it, at this point here, I find very interesting that that he actually says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What's wrong about that statement? Well, just think, with an inheritance, I mean, it's a little bit audacious, isn't it? You know, a little bit presumptuous to go to, well, my parents have all died, but to go to mum and dad and say to them, we saw them on Friday, and we could have said, mum, dad, what must I do to make sure I get the house? All right? What must I do to make sure I actually are inherited whatever you're going to give to us? All right? So firstly, there's an audacity on this man here in asking this question, what must I do to inherit? Because inherit is something that's intrinsically given to a child, all right? And again, it's not a right of the child or grandchild to actually have an inheritance in biblical times and in law today too. It's the choice, it's the giving of the parent or the grandparents to give an inheritance to there. And so this lawyer, this expert in the law, is asking an unusual question: what must I do to inherit eternal life? So basically saying, what must I prove to God to actually not twist his arm, but show that I am worthy to be able to be equivalent to being like a son and be given then the choice by God to actually have eternal life from him, which is really only to be given to a relative or a child or the choice, can you see? So he's asking this. Jesus then says, well, he knows that he's an expert in the law, and so he goes back and he says, well, what is written in the law? What has God said? What has the Bible taught? What has God said is the way forward for inheriting eternal life? And how do you read it? All right, what do you think? What does it say? Very good Bible study technique. And we do that in our Bible study. What do you find interesting? What does it say? What does a plain reading of the scriptures here tell you? And of which the expert in the law actually quotes Deuteronomy 6 and Leviticus 19, and he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. And Jesus' reply is, you have answered correctly. Jesus then replied, do this and you will live. And again, can you see the difficulty, what's the word I'm looking for? What's strange about this? The impossibility of this. Who can possibly love God with all their heart, with all of their soul, with all of their strength, and all of their mind, all of the time? All right. And who can love their neighbor as themselves all of the time? Can you see that the wording in the law, the wording of God, gives us that he's actually putting up the standard of saying the law requires perfection. God requires perfection in relationship to God and relationship to one another in order to inherit eternal life. And I don't think the man actually gets this, but the real question is, do you get it? Right? Do you see that? Right? That's important. Jesus is pointing up a standard here of 100%. "You've answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." If he got it, he would have gone away depressed and sad because he would have realized that it's not possible to do that perfectly. All right. But the next little question tells us more about this expert in the law, and it scratches also on our attitude towards God too. He says, "But he wanted to justify himself." In other words, the word there for justify himself is saying he wanted to prove that the way in which he applied now these scriptures made him worthy of inheriting eternal life. And so he asks a strange question, picks out of all the things, he says, "And who, Jesus, is my neighbour?" And this is an important little question here, because for the Jew, we understand at this time here, they had a set group of people whom, by their canon law or Jewish law, they could love and accept love back, or care and accept care for. Their religious laws that they added to apply meant that they could love a particular community, things, and of which Samaritans were not part of that at all. In fact, it was, as we know from our biblical our knowledge of the Bible and our from way back, that Samaritans and Jews do not get on with each other. They're not to relate with each other. Remember, the woman at the well said to the Samaritan woman, "What, you a Jew asking me a question? You asking me for what? A Jews and Samaritans don't have anything to do together." The history behind that is an interesting history. Since the fall of the Northern Kingdom, the Jews in the Northern Kingdom, where Samaria was and is till today, then after being taken over by Assyrians and all Persians, they tended to mingle in and become more like the nations. And so for the purists in Judah and the Southern Kingdom, they saw that as a betrayal. And so there is the history behind that background. You betrayed the Jew. You aren't truly pure in this. Jesus, are you truly authentically a Jew, as this this Jewish expert in the law is asking of Jesus? Are you an expert? Are you really able to teach us? Are you like us? And so when asked this, who is my neighbour? Let's see what Jesus answers. All right. You can hear the expert in the law testing Jesus here. And so the expectation of the Jewish leader, of the expert in the law, is, of course, a priest, you know, or a Levite, you know, or someone who is like him. Okay. But what does Jesus do? He talks about a man, any man. Could be a Jew, could have been a Samaritan. Doesn't say. And it doesn't say for a reason, because he labels the other men in the story, priest, Levi, Samaritan, but gives no title, no label to this man here. Just a man, a person. A person was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. And a priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Again, you can why he passed by on the other side is because there was a religious law that actually forbid the priest, who was going most likely to serve in the temple, to touch a dead body or a perceived dead body. So in a way, he's using his religious laws, his knowledge of theology, or whatever, to actually do his behaviour, and he goes on to the other side and he bypasses the man who's there on the side of the road appearing to be dead. He justifies himself for not caring, not loving. And so then a Levite comes along, and one commentator sort of said, there most probably were some in the crowd, I think he was joking a little bit, but there must have been some in the crowd there that thought, yeah, the lay person will do it. Priests never do it, you know. Ministers never do the job of caring for others, you know. The lay person will do it, you know. And the Levite goes to the place, but he too passes by on the other side. Again, most probably for religious reasons, passes by on the other side. But then comes a twist. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. It's a similar word to the word that's called mercy. Had pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him in an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 2 denarii would have been about maybe 2 weeks' worth of money to cover the expenses of this poor man who's been beaten up and now being looked after by the innkeeper in the inn. He took out 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have. And here comes the question of which we miss. And sometimes we don't hear. Which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? What was the question of the expert in the law originally? Do you remember? What was the question? Who is my neighbour? And so Jesus is getting him to realise who in this story was a neighbour to the man who was robbed. So Jesus is identifying the man who was robbed, right? The expert of the law with the man who was robbed. Put yourself in the shoes of the man who was robbed, expert in the law. Who was neighbourly to you? Who was the neighbour? Who was the person who was that man's neighbour who he allowed to come to his help? Right? He may not have allowed, but he did come to that. And the guy, I think, reluctantly realises it's the Samaritan. But no, he doesn't say his name. The one who had mercy on him. Right. So instantly we're thinking about like, oh, okay, yeah, the Samaritan, the man who's been robbed is the neighbour, all right? And the Samaritan was showing love for his neighbour to the robber man. But no, Jesus has twisted that around in the whole story and said, who was the man who was the neighbour to the man who was beaten up and robbed? And the expert in the law is being challenged here to think, I must let the Samaritan help me. I must let not just those who I like and love and care for, who are one of my like, care for me. I've got to let the Samaritan, my enemy, those whom I don't associate with, I must let them love me too. I must let them have mercy upon me. And he twists it all around to help that expert in the law to realize when it means love your neighbor as yourself, it's not just a set group of people or a typical type of person. It's letting everyone be a means of a help to you, as well as being a help to others. But the emphasis of this whole story is about letting help be given to you, not about us giving help to others. Yes, it's endorsed, yes. And he says, the expert in the law answered, verse 27, the one who had mercy on him, he was the one who was the neighbour to that man who fell into the hands of robbers. And Jesus goes and tells that expert in the law, go and do likewise. Right? Let the Samaritans help you. Let them be part of you. Let them be part of being allowing to care for you, right? And care for them too. But ultimately, it's an interesting word of mercy being shown here. Because remember, why did this story come up originally? Because it was over testing who Jesus is and whether he had authority to be able to teach God's law and whether he actually had authority to be the one who could inherit eternal life. Because really, the only one who can legitimately inherit eternal life is the one who keeps God's law perfectly, who fulfills it, who loves the Lord his God, Father, with all his heart, mind, soul and strength and his mind, and loves his neighbour as himself. And that is no other than Jesus. Jesus is the one who does all of this perfectly. Go and let yourself be that broken man and let Jesus have mercy on you. Let that be a lesson for you, expert in the law. Behind the scenes here, Jesus is teaching this in this parable, in this story that's here. If we're trusting in our own righteousness, in our own ways of coming to God, in caring, and just in our own ways of thinking how we've inherited eternal life and not accepted the mercy of Jesus and the work of Jesus on our behalf, then we're rejecting the mercy of Jesus. But in the light of that, we show mercy and care for all people, not just those in our inner circle. We mustn't, like the priest and the Levite, allow our religious obligations and things stop us from caring for another. If you have grandchildren and your grandchildren play soccer on a Sunday and you think, oh, I should be at church, go and see your kids play soccer on Sunday. Oh, the minister said it, it's recording. All right? Sometimes I remember this little story it was told to me once. There's a little girl whose mum and dad, and there's some young people, they might listen into this. The young people, this little girl was playing the piano and she's playing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. And dad comes out and says, it's time now to go and help mum with the washing up. And the little girl goes, oh, but I'm singing songs to Jesus. I don't need to obey dad. All right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, but love your neighbour as yourself. Remembering also that in all of this, don't let our religious obligations stop us from doing what the law really requires. And that's to love all and care for all and to let others care and love for you too. But ultimately, the greatest care you can let happen is to let Jesus care for you and to let him be your saviour and your Lord. Many thought of Jesus as a Samaritan. And I think maybe somewhere it is quoted where they thought of him as a Samaritan, someone who just wasn't like them. But he's the one who grants to us and blesses us and imputes to us and gives to us inheritance of eternal life, life in all its fullness, because of his keeping of the law on our behalf. Go now, knowing that, and do likewise. Be like Jesus to others around, who shows mercy where mercy cannot be given back. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I trust you've helped me to teach your word correctly today. That certainly has been my heart's desire. And you know our prayer during the week. Father God, forgive us when we tend to just want to care for those who are in our inner circle, like the experts in the law, Forgive us when we tend to test you and justify our actions because they're kind of religiously right to do, but not keeping the law and the heart of you and the spirit of what you want us to do. But thank you, Jesus, that you have had mercy upon us, broken and dead, but being made alive in Christ. Thank you that you saw us on the side of the road and had pity on us and bandaged up our wounds and healed us and looked after us completely. We look forward to living with you forever. Amen.
Yes, please stand now and let us sing again the new song that we've been introduced to earlier. While we are standing, let us now affirm our faith in the manner of Christians through the centuries with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. Believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our set psalm for today is Psalm 10 from verse 12. Let us say it together. Arise, Lord, lift up your hand, O God. Do not forget the helpless. Why does the wicked man revile God? Why does he say to himself, he won't call me to account? But you, God, see the trouble of the afflicted. You consider their grief and take it in hand. The victims commit themselves to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Diane is now coming up to lead us in prayer for today.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Be exalted, Lord, above the heavens. Let your glory cover the earth. Keep our nation under your care. Guide us in justice and truth. Let your way be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Send out your light and truth, that we may tell of your saving works. Hear our prayers, O Lord, for we put our trust in you. We are in awe of you, our Creator, for the world you have made for us. We are undeserving and so often ungrateful for the blessings of your provision. We humbly ask that your Spirit will remind us of just how much you love us and offer to you our repentant hearts to amend those specific sins we commit. We also pray for those people of the world who have turned away from you and have rejected you. We ask that they would have their hearts awakened to your truth. Help them to know the hope that you promised them. Bring your word into their hearts powerfully to restore them by your will. Amen. Use each country's leadership across the earth to work to restore peace, to care for the needs of their fellow human beings, and to model leadership that puts others first. We pray that church leaders in every country are able to minister well to their congregations, teaching your word truthfully and correctly to their flocks, building up your church on the foundation of the truth of Jesus Christ and his saving grace for us. Protect people living in war zones, refugees, those suffering under drought and famine, people facing flood and bushfires, and any living under oppressive rule. Bring them your hope and peace, we pray. Keep safe those men and women fighting the Canadian wildfires and bring them safely back to their families. Protect all our emergency service personnel, paramedics, firefighters, police, and our healthcare workers and teachers. Maintain safe work practices for all those tradespeople in building industries, electricians, plumbers, carpenters, and all other workers who face the daily pressures in the workplace. We ask for your guidance and wisdom for our country's federal, state, and local governments. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese, Opposition Leader Peter Dutton, State Premiers Chris Minns, Daniel Andrews, Anastasia Palaszczuk, Roger Cook, Peter Malinauskas, Jeremy Rockliffe, and State and Territory Chief Ministers Andrew Barr and Natasha Files. Our local Council of Drummoyne and the Mayor, Angelo Sarekas, direct them to lead well and with integrity for the good of the nation. Please, loving Father, reduce those areas where animosity over issues exists. Bring peaceful hearts to discussions and encourage our nation to pull together to improve this wonderful country. Let healthy debate be welcomed, where differing ideas will be heard and given due and generous consideration, where our rightness can be challenged and not taken as a personal attack, giving an openness to ideas and adjustments to viewpoints. Remember, Lord, all who you have called to minister to those in prison. May their presence and words be welcomed and received by those who may well feel they are beyond forgiveness, who have lost all hope of changing and feel abandoned by the world. Grant to prison chaplains the grace to safely walk alongside them and their families in the long journey of separation and hopeful return to society. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We offer prayers for our local community outreach through playgroup, scripture in schools, St Andrew's kindergarten visits, church at Bayswater Gardens and Chiswick Manor, and our Bible study groups. May they be blessed through their interactions, as we also will be blessed. May we also be a blessing to our friends and neighbours in Abbotsford and beyond, as we continue to grow in our knowledge and love of God, as we serve him in our individual spheres of influence. Sustain those from our small church congregation who are under any kind of duress, whether due to illness or recovery, ageing, work-related stress or relationship pressures. Draw us close to you in prayer and through your word. May your spirit help us navigate life's difficulties in your power and grow us in faith and trust in you. Comfort us as we learn the way you want us to walk through these times. Thank you that you have revealed to us through your prophets your power, might, strength, compassion, and eventual judgment, but mostly for Jesus Christ our Lord, who has saved us from our sin by his death on the cross, his resurrection and ascension, and the promise of his return in glory one day. Let us now pray together to the one God, Father, Son, and Spirit, that our lives may bear witness to our faith. Father, you sent your word to bring truth and your spirit to make us holy. Through them we come to know the mystery of your life. Help us to worship you, one God in three persons, by proclaiming and living our faith in you. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. Father, you sent your word to bring truth and your spirit to make us holy. Through them we come to know the mystery of your life. Help us to worship you, one God in three persons, by proclaiming and living our faith in you. Great words. The set prayer for today, that was. Almighty God, you have given us grace to bring before you with one accord our common supplication, and you promise that when two or three are gathered together in your name, you will grant their requests. Fulfill now, Lord, the desires and petitions of your servants as may be most expedient for them, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth and in the world to come, life everlasting.
So we have one or two announcements for today. First of all, the Ladies Equip Conference. Don't know if you wanted to say anything further about it, Rosemary? No, fine. You've done very well so far, Rosemary. Thanks very much. But it's on Saturday, the 17th of June. And please read more about it in the service sheet, perhaps, those of you who are interested. And if you want to book your place at the conference, see Rosemary, or simply place your name on the sheet at the back of the church. The men had another of their men's breakfast yesterday with a very interesting Bible study as an additional point. The food was pancakes.
No, Roy.
They were not as good as the pancakes at the ladies' breakfast earlier. But we did clean up the kitchen very nicely afterwards. The next meeting for the men, or the next morning for the men, is Saturday the 1st of July, when we'll be meeting for lawn bowls at Concord Bowling Club. And if you would like personal prayer after the service, then Tony and Minette will be down the front here, and we'll be very happy to pray for you. Just going back for the after tea, we've got morning tea after the service, and to maintain our COVID safe practices, we encourage you to spill out onto the lawn. It's not actually raining at the moment, and if it is raining, then spill back into the church building to keep a good distance. We thank you for regularly supporting the Anglican Church here in Abbotsford with your gifts, either via the offertory box at the back of the church or online, or indeed as well through the monthly donation envelopes at the end of the queue for the monthly mission focus that we have. Let me now offer a prayer in response to these offertories. Heavenly Father, accept our giving towards ministry in this place and beyond. We bring these gifts to you as a token of our love and gratitude. Grant that they may be wisely used towards your kingdom work and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And as we leave, a reminder of the sentence of Scripture for today. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Let us say together the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Please stand now for our final song today, which is Live for the Kingdom.
Sacrifice all, gladly obeying his call. Now is the the moment, the day of salvation. This is the hour to be serving the King, bearing the gospel, go to the nations. Now is the time for our tribute to bring. Live for the kingdom and give God the glory and honor and praise. Live for the kingdom all of our days. Love one another, care for the lost, learn to live simply. Now is the moment, the day of salvation. This is the hour to be serving the King, bearing the gospel, go to the nations. Now is the time for our tribute to bring. Live for the kingdom and give God.
Thanks for coming, everybody. Time for morning tea.